Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Just reading about this mother who lives in Virginia Beach, Virginia, who's donated around 94 gallons of her own breast milk over the last year to 28 babies. Well, basically over the last year and a half. Her name's Christina Resch, and she started donating her own breast milk in 2018 to other mothers seeking human milk when she realized she was producing too much to use or store in her already stuffed refrigerators and freezers. She said, quote, "I was making anywhere from 75 to 100 ounces of breast milk a day, pumping a lot."
See, now we need a perspective. I don't know how much the average breast milk pump, you know, the average woman breast milk is. So
not nearly that much.
I could imagine.
She when she gave birth, she gave birth to a premature son. And that premature son would only drink about 10 ounces of her breast milk a day, per day. And so she would just start, his nature, you know, she would just start, the breast milk was everywhere, the boy wasn't drinking enough of it, and so she had to store it somewhere, and she was putting it in the refrigerator and then in the freezer, and then all of a sudden she said, quote, "My dad said he needed his freezer space back," unquote. "So all this damn milk is doing in here."
So she was still staying with her father this whole time?
Evidently.
Huh.
She turned to her neighbors at first, and her neighbors needed her milk. But it was still filling up her refrigerators. So she had to do something about this issue. So you know what she did? She joined Facebook groups. You know, there's a Facebook group seemingly for everything. And she joined a few Facebook groups. One of them name is Human Milk for Human Babies, that group.
All right.
And then she did that to find more mothers who needed breast milk. She has a wealth of breast milk. And she's now helped foster children. And she's helped infants with special needs. And she's even helped a few babies who lost their mothers.
Well, you know, that's good on her, actually.
Yeah, well, what do you do with all this breast milk?
Sell it. Did she donate it or did she sell
it? Doesn't say anything about her selling it. All right. I think she's just got extra and she's giving it away. I mean, I don't think it's like when we go to Rouse's or another supermarket and we could either get a half gallon or a gallon and it's a certain price.
So it's a charitable donation, pretty much.
She's helping out.
Yeah. I mean, it's a noble cause, well, but the temptation to profit off of it would have overshadowed me.
That's a good thing you're not a breast milk producer then. That's because you'd be doing it for the wrong reasons.
I'm a horrible person.
That's Chris Coleman hanging out on the show today. But she's, you know, one mother even drove with her twins more than 100 miles from Richmond, Virginia to Virginia Beach, Virginia, just to get the free milk.
There it is.
You see that,
all
Coleman?
Right. All right.
And now, if she was charging for this breast milk, do you think people would be driving from 100 miles away to get it?
Well, like I said, there's a Facebook page for everything.
Mrs. Resch said, or it might be Miss Resch, I don't know. Christina Resch is her name. She said, quote, "I think I'm up to almost 30 babies, including my own two. 28 babies that are not mine." So, it's a story of hope. around Christmas time, because you know, you turn on the news, so much of it is negative and bad, because that's what sells. But I don't know. I don't think you'll be seeing this story as a headline.
Probably not.
In a lot of places, about the mother who has donated about 94 gallons of her own breast milk to other babies and young children who need such milk.
So I have to ask you, have you ever tasted breast milk as an adult?
I'm not. I prefer the whole milk, and I prefer the 2% and the 1% fat milk. I prefer that over the.
Okay. I have accidentally. You know, you get frisky and with a woman that just had kids, and sometimes you get a taste of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't really want to get into it, but so I just thought this is one of those feel good stories around Christmas that makes you warm on a colder Christmas time morning here on Bayou 95.7.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Had a good time last night as Trans-Siberian Orchestra performed their annual Christmastime show here in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center. And they're spectacular. And if you're into that band, Al Petrelli, who's the leader of Trans-Siberian Orchestra, popped in the studio a couple of days ago, and I talked to him after our show, and we made a video out of it, and we put it on our website at bayou957.com. The guy is a fantastic guitar player. He is sick. He's an incredible shredder, and he's a guy who came up in the late 70s, and then he was playing through the 80s, and he played with a bunch of people. He played with Alice Cooper and his band. He played with Megadeth in their band, Sabotage, and he played in a bunch of different bands, and he was a working musician. And then all of a sudden, somebody came to him with an idea. How about putting electric guitar behind classic Christmas songs? And how about making Christmas songs really rock? At first, he said, what are you guys, crazy? You know, Christmas songs are Christmas songs. And this was in the mid-90s. And so he started working with another guy named Paul O'Neill. And the next thing you know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra was born. And it is a spectacular show. And it played last night here in New Orleans. And if you enjoy electric guitar and you enjoy Christmas songs, you put those two things together, you've got Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and it's
now it's not just Christmas songs, it's a whole orchestra as well. They have the strings, violin, so it's like they mix rock with the
They do it all. It's Chris Coleman hanging out on the show. They do it all, Coleman. But for people, especially young rockers or old rockers or rockers of any age, now that we're inside a week away from Christmas, if you like having some Christmas music at your house, but the old classics kind of bore you, Trans-Siberian Orchestra has 8 albums.
Yeah.
And you can crank that up around the house and turn people on to some really, really rocking Christmas and classic music. It's really good stuff. But
it goes to show you how you can take any genre of music. If you add electric guitar, if you make it rock. There's so many cover songs that I heard that I didn't know were covers of original songs because it rocked so hard that I thought it was original. And an older cat would be like, oh, no, that's a song from back in the day. They just added this and that and the other to it. So something about adding that rock to any kind of genre, whether it be jazz, Christmas music, gospel music. Yeah, some rock to it. It might get a lot of people into it more.
Well, I think you could say that about other aspects of life as well. Adding loud guitar to anything, I think is helpful. And before the show last night, I was fortunate enough to hop up on stage before Trans-Siberian Orchestra went on, and I was with three wounded warriors.
Right, it was from the Round Canopy parachute team.
Yeah, they parachute jumpers.
Yep.
They're jumpers in the military, the United States Army veterans who happen to jump out of airplanes.
Yep.
And one of the great things about Trans-Siberian Orchestra, besides their musicianship, they're professionals and they sound great, and the show they put on is spectacular. Every city they go to, they will take $1 from every ticket sold, and they will add it all up and then donate it to a local charity.
Right.
And last night, we raised almost $9,000,
yep,
for the wounded warriors here in New Orleans. And, you know, many of us, when we love music, if you love sports, many of us look at musicians, sports stars, maybe movie stars, we look at them as heroes because, wow, look what they've accomplished. They're not heroes. I mean, you know, they're talented and they're great at what they do, and they happen to do their job in front of millions of people. The real heroes I was standing next to on that stage last night. Those three United States Army veterans and those guys, because you look at those guys,
mm-hmm,
and those were like the only three guys in the Smoothie King Center that probably, well, definitely would die for everybody in there watching that show.
Now, interesting story. You know, you hear the cliche when somebody meets a veteran or you hear their story and you say, man, you don't really know what they go through until you meet them. And it sounds like something nice to say. It sounds like a cliche. Now, if you notice, when we first met up with the guys, I was more talkative. But as they started talking, I got kind of quiet because as they were sharing these stories, I was amazed at some of the things that they've done. And it just hit me like, yeah, these guys really are heroes, because I hear it all the time. Oh, man, you don't know till you meet these guys. You don't really know the impact that they have on you. And I always thought, you know what? Yeah, it's nice to say support the veterans, me too. But as I was listening, you know, was in the back talking, some of the stories they were telling, I had to be quiet because they really deserve that honor and respect. I said, I can't even intervene. I can't crack a joke.
Well, and their stories are more entertaining than yours.
Plus,
and
yeah,
Coleman, you have some good stories, but last
night. Yeah, I never jumped out of a plane, though.
No, last night
when
we were talking to those guys, they had some great stories. But no, it was my honor and my privilege to be standing up there next to those three American heroes.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about the military. I couldn't have more respect for a group of people than I do for the United States military. So just a great night last night. And again, if you want to know more about Trans-Siberian Orchestra, the story, how it started, a good interview with their leader, the very talented guitarist Al Petrelli, which is on our website right now at Bayou957.com. Bayou95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Boy, in this day and age of the hashtag Me Too movement, hashtag Time's Up movement, with women saying enough is enough when it comes to them being abused by men, by men of power, and we've seen it. Boy, you look at some of the big names, whether it's Matt Lauer or Charlie Rose, Harvey Weinstein. I mean, these were some of the most powerful men in the news and entertainment industry. They've gone away. Locally, how about John Besh? I mean, this guy he's disappeared.
Right.
John Besh used to make New Orleans proud. And him and his group owned a bunch of restaurants in New Orleans, and you used to think of John Besh, and wow, and now all of a sudden you may never hear from him or see him again. And you look how, you know, again, these high-profile guys who made millions of dollars, but they also did not treat women very well. And I'm just reading another story right here about how a female producer at CBS, the network CBS, is now filing a suit against that network because she said not only did her male boss have a drinking problem, but she says that he texted her a photo of him peeing.
Oh, man.
when he was drunk one night. In a lawsuit that's going on right now. I mean, this guy has won Emmy Awards as the producer of the television show 60 Minutes. His name is Michael Gavshon. And according to this woman who used to work for CBS, said that this guy frequently drank openly in the office and out in the field in front of CBS employees. No one ever said anything about it because, I mean, guys won Emmy Awards on a not only a very highly watched television show, 60 Minutes, but a show that's been on seemingly forever. And this guy, he's in his 60s now, but this is just reading about this. And, you know, it's interesting how, you know, I know times used to be different, but I don't.
No, you got.
I don't ever recall it being cool, especially when you have a million-dollar job, a multi-million-dollar job, to be taking pictures of yourself drunk, urinating, but then sending them to women that you work with.
That's why I was about to go with that. All the things he could have took a picture of, why that? That's not even a go-to. He could have did the Anthony Weiner. It probably would have been a little bit better.
But evidently, the people over at CBS, they just let it go because of his resume, much like all of those years NBC did the same thing with Matt Lauer.
Right.
Stories that have come out over the last year or two about Matt Lauer, he was a terror. I mean, you look at him on television, he looks like the innocent boy next door. And then you start reading some of these stories, how he locked women in his office. He had a button underneath his desk that locked the door at 30 Rock. And women couldn't get out. And, I mean, the guy was basically like Satan. But it's something, and I guess it's time to turn the corner. I mean,
well, there's a difference between locking people in a room. All right, so you know the Ron Burgundy deal. Oh, it was a different time. I get some of the wordplay a man might use to a woman, like, "Hey, what's up, toots?" That's different from locking somebody up in a room. You know, that's a whole like or sending videos of you urinating. That's a different scale from just sending a text like, "Hey, how you doing?" So I get the, oh, yeah, he's 60, but it was a different time. That doesn't fly with the whole way. I'm going to send a video of you urinating type deal. You
yeah,
get what
well,
I mean?
this is another lawsuit that's going on right now. Coming up on the show, the Saints' newest acquisition, Janoris Jenkins, the cornerback. He has apologized for calling, for the reason why he got released from the New York Giants. He called a Giant fan the R word on Twitter. And then the Saints signed him after he refused to apologize for using the R word. That's something else. Just like the hashtag Me Too movement, you can't call people the R word anymore and expect to keep your job because it offends too many people. He has apologized more than once now that the Saints have signed him for using the R word. We'll see if the guy can actually help the Saints win and he can actually play. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. So the Saints, they have as good a chance as any team to not only get to the Super Bowl, but to win the Super Bowl this season with 2 games left, with 2 weeks left. The only thing that's going to stop them from winning a Super Bowl is their defense, in my opinion. So they went out and they signed a guy, and we talked about him before on this show recently. They signed a defensive back, a cornerback, who the Giants cut. His name's Janoris Jenkins. And the only reason the Giants cut him is because a fan on Twitter said some negative things about him, and then he called that fan a retard. He used the R word on Twitter. And when he did that, the Giants organization told him or asked him to apologize, because in the year 2019, you cannot be calling people that word. That's a word they're trying to remove from society. I think like little people don't want to be called midgets anymore, even though there's a difference between a midget and a dwarf. Right. But that's the M word for little people, and for people with mental illness.
It's the R word.
Retarded is the R word. So they're trying to remove that word from the lexicon. And that's something when you know, you go back a generation, or I remember, you know, being a kid, people used to call each other that all the time, and nobody ever thought anything about it. It was just a word like many other words that you would call people when you're a kid. So anyways, Janoris Jenkins on Twitter called the fan the R word. So the Giants said, look, you got to apologize to this guy. And Janoris Jenkins said, no, I'm not apologizing. And so the Giants cut him. And the Saints signed him. And I asked a couple of days ago on the show when the Saints signed him if you had any issues as a Saints fan with this guy who refused to apologize for calling a fan the R word, if you have a problem now with him wearing the black and gold and representing.
So what was the consensus? How did most Saints fans feel?
Some people went back and forth. There were some people that said, look, all I care about is if he can play cornerback, because we need a cornerback right now. And then some other people said, well, I kind of have an issue with that. Well, since he got here, he has apologized a couple of times. Obviously, the Giants suck.
Right.
They're going nowhere. I think they've only won two or three games all year. And so he was happy when the Giants.
That's probably why he didn't apologize. Maybe he knew, you know what, if I don't apologize, they'll cut me. Maybe I have greener pastures somewhere else.
Well, he has since apologized a couple of times for saying that, because people said that by him not apologizing, he just didn't, quote-unquote, get it. It. Meaning, hey, dude, you know, there's people out there who have mental illness or whatever the case may be, and when you use that word, you offend them,
right.
And it makes them look bad, and whatever the case may be. But the Saints ended up signing him, and
now did he apologize after he got signed? Right, correct.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe somebody in the Saints organization either talk some sense into him. That's if he actually believed that he offended somebody, or he was just holding out his apology until he got the contract signed and said, you know what, I apologize now, after he got what he wanted.
Well, the Giants, when they released him, and that's Chris Coleman hanging out on the show, the Giants released a statement from their management. Their head coach, Pat Schumer, said, quote, from ownership to management to our football operations, we felt it was in the best interests of the franchise and Jenkins to release him. Obviously, what happened this week and the refusal to acknowledge the inappropriate and offensive language was the determining factor,
right,
of his getting cut. But since that happened, now he has apologized a couple of times. He had to. He had to, because if he didn't understand it, someone needed to sit him down and say that word. It's not like 20 years ago where people used to call people that word a lot. Times change. And I'll tell you what, it makes doing a daily radio show a lot more difficult now than it was 20, 25 years ago. I can tell you that much.
You think Sean Payton would have cared and put him on the field whether he apologized or not?
That's a good question. I think he had to apologize, because I think a lot of people were talking about it. And, I mean, you can't represent an organization and use language like that in the year 2019 and then refuse to apologize and
Still take the field.
Saying that this is how we talk where I'm from. It's, you know, this is culture.
Right.
And we heard that word. Well, Michael Vick, when it came to how he abused the dogs, well, that was the culture he grew up in. Some people said that was his culture. Well, you know, it's not NFL culture.
Right.
So he said, I apologize. He said, it's just different terms, and I feel like people just took it the wrong way. Once again, like I did 5 days ago, I'll do it again. I apologize if I offended anybody or anybody with those disabilities. I didn't mean it that way. So there you go. He apologized.
There it is.
And now, as far as Saints fans are concerned, hopefully he'll be able to stop someone and replace Eli Apple, because it's interesting. They got Eli Apple when the Giants cut him at the end of last year. And now the Giants cut Janoris Jenkins at the end of this year. They pick him up to hopefully replace Eli Apple, because they got Marshon Lattimore on one corner. He's fantastic. He's going to the Pro Bowl. And now we'll see if Janoris Jenkins, after the Saints signed him, and now he's apologized twice for calling a Giants fan.
Well, he should be good to go. It'll blow over.
Yeah, boy, this is getting exciting between LSU and the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
we literally, I know this is something we root for over there, but we are closer this year to having LSU being national champions and the Saints being Super Bowl champions together at the same time.
And the Pelicans broke their streak.
Yeah, they finally won for the first time in 14 games. Breaking news here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You know, I love the Black Crowes. And I always thought that their second album, The Southern Harmony, I always thought that was the best thing they ever did. And they made news recently. They haven't, the two brothers, Chris Robinson, the lead singer, and Rich Robinson, the guitarist, they haven't played together in about 6 years. And in 2020, they're going to do a tour, because it's the anniversary of their debut CD, Shake Your Moneymaker, and they're going to play that CD from start to finish. The only problem I had with it, they're the only two Black Crowes. The other guys in the band, the drummer, the other guitar player, the bass player, the keyboard, none of them are involved in it. And they just, the two brothers basically hired members from two other bands to back them up and go on this tour in 2020. That would be for the 30th anniversary of their great debut album, Shake Your Moneymaker. And look, I'm a huge Black Crowes fan. And I don't see it coming around here right now. I would probably go. You know, the last time they played 6 years ago, they were on tour. They played the Civic Theater here in New Orleans, and I went to that show. I mean, it's nice to see them playing that and going and keeping that going. But a lot of fans are calling it a Robinson Brothers money grab by leaving the rest of the original Black Crowes and the guys that were there back when they made that album out of the band. But, okay, coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next here on Bayou 95.7.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Time for us now to look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
December 19th. It was today. Boy, oh boy. Talk about history repeating itself. It was today in 1998. President Bill Clinton was impeached.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Wait, didn't that just happen yesterday? Didn't the House of Representatives vote to impeach our current president, Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think we're like in a weird time loop right about now.
Yeah. Well, 21 years ago today, in 1998, after nearly 14 hours of debate, the United States House of Representatives approved two articles of impeachment against President Bill Clinton.
Two articles? Wow.
Because that's what happened yesterday. The United States House of Representatives... approved two articles of impeachment against current President Donald Trump. With Bill Clinton, they charged him with lying under oath to a federal grand jury and obstructing justice when it came to his affair with the 21-year-old unpaid intern, Monica Lewinsky. And the House voted to impeach. And the same thing's going to happen now.
Yeah.
Because the House then... was led by Republicans, and then it went to the Senate, which was led by Democrats, and the Senate said, "Nah, we're not gonna impeach him." Now, 21 years later, the House, who's led by Democrats, voted to impeach, but the Senate, who's led by Republicans, they're gonna say,
"I'm already confused. I feel like we're in bizarro world."
This is kind of strange. And that's Chris Coleman hanging out on the show today.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It's funny how history repeats itself in certain ways. December 19th. It was today in 1917. The National Hockey League opened its very first NHL season.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
That league's been going for a long time. December 19th. It was today, 1 year before Bill Clinton got impeached, in 1997, the movie Titanic debuted.
Now, we were just talking about a few days ago how that was the number one grossing movie before Avatar, which is both James Cameron movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
And but it was today for the first time that people saw that epic Titanic in movie theaters.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
And... I got a couple more. December 19th, it was today. Oh, this is bad news. In 1941, Adolf Hitler takes command of the German army.
Won't they vote to impeach him?
I don't think they had any impeachment situations over there in Nazi Germany. But that happened today in 1941.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
And finally, happy birthday in heaven, I think. I hope. He would have been 101 years old today. The man who was hailed as the father of New Orleans rhythm and blues. Singer and pianist. Professor Longhair was born today in 1918. And he was born in Bogalusa, Louisiana. Yeah, I hear the weather's nice up there this time of year.
The weather's not nice anywhere right now.
Yes. A little bit cold, but happy birthday wherever you are. I think he's in heaven, hopefully, to the great Professor Longhair. And that's a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, there's something going around America that has already happened in New Orleans. There are votes going on to say... women should not be legally allowed to strip until they're 21 years old. And some are saying, slow down here. Wait, if you're 18, aren't you an adult in this country? Shouldn't, look, even if they want to do something that you might not agree with, shouldn't at 18 years old you legally be allowed to go out and work for a living if you want? We're going to give you some details on this coming up. The 21 and older rule for strippers. Coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So I just saw this story, and it makes you just scratch your head. Massachusetts is one of the states, although I call the People's Republic of Massachusetts because I lived and worked up there for many years in Boston. But it's one of the states where marijuana is now legal. You can walk into a store and buy it. Matter of fact, when marijuana became legal there, I believe a politician was the first person in line to buy the legal dope, the legal weed. And if you've listened to this show, you know that in my opinion, marijuana is no more dangerous than alcohol. And if alcohol is legal, marijuana should be legal. Here in Louisiana, marijuana just became legal for medicinal purposes. And we know there's no doubt about it that it does have its health benefits. I mean, you can see videos of children who are suffering from seizures. And then when they ingest some marijuana, whether it's in a cookie or a brownie or whatever the case may be, the seizures stop. That's just one example, but there are many examples of how marijuana, and I don't know if alcohol can do this.
It numbs the pain. As an alcoholic, I can tell you, it makes you feel better, but the hangover the next day, nah. Even if you take the chaser pills, it induces vomit, but I figure the better the hangover, the greater job I did the previous day.
That's Chris Coleman hanging out on the show with us this morning, and, there's no doubt that marijuana has its medicinal use. CBD is in marijuana, and now you're hearing CBD advertised all over the place where you can go legally buy it, and it helps people. That's the part of the marijuana that helps people. I don't think the THC part, the part that gets you high. I don't think.
Yeah, and when people got on the CBD oil, I think they felt gypped that the THC wasn't in it because they thought there was, oh, my foot hurts, and they go there and get the oil, think it was going to be something that it actually wasn't when it's just a painkiller.
Look, there's no doubt it has its medicinal purposes, and I think it should be just legalized. It's a plant that grows out of the ground, for heaven's sake. But listen to this. Up there in the People's Republic of Massachusetts, a substitute teacher just lost his job because the other day in class in North Attleboro, Massachusetts, at North Attleboro High School, he lit and smoked marijuana in the classroom.
That monster.
He's a dope, actually. And the thing is, a substitute teacher did this. This wasn't even one of the regular full-time teachers. This is a substitute teacher. Hey, I got a gig today. What am I going to do in class? I know. Marijuana is legal now in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I'm going to smoke weed in the class. And just because it's legal doesn't mean you can smoke it in a classroom while you're teaching children.
Well, have you ever taught a class full of kids? Have you ever seen how teachers look after a class, a session? He might have needed it.
Especially substitute teachers.
Yeah.
Because usually kids go up one side of the substitute teacher and then go down the other side of the substitute teacher.
I'm quite sure it wasn't because he just felt like blazing up. I'm quite sure the students impeded him. He said, you know what? I'm just going to take a smoke break.
Yeah, this happened on Monday. And he lost his job after students there at North Attleboro High School rushed to report the substitute teacher. Like, as soon as he lit up, there were some kids in there that went and ratted him out, told on him.
Imagine saying, I got fired being a substitute. I lost my substitute gig. You wasn't even in there. You wasn't even a real teacher, and you got fired for being a substitute.
Well, and for the reason why you got fired, for smoking a joint. Now, the only question is, will there be criminal charges? Now, I don't know. Again, it's legal there, and I know, but it's illegal to smoke inside anywhere now.
That's probably just a school policy.
But he did lose his job, and you know, this is a perfect example. I remember when I was in school, why we used to love it when our regular teacher wasn't there and there was a substitute there. But boy, you talk about a set of stones on a substitute teacher. But this teacher will no longer be teaching up there, and now he's got plenty of time to go smoke weed wherever he wants to. But there's a time and a place for everything, and that wasn't it. All right, coming up on the show. Hey, we got a special See Who Died. You know, whenever someone that I respect or like ends up dying, we have a segment on the show we call See Who Died. I got one coming up. I think you're going to know who this person is, too. Stick around for that here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I have never seen a story like this before. This is one of the most dedicated and crazy workers at a restaurant that I've ever seen. Subway employee opens fire after fight over sandwich wrap. This happened in Florida, because it's a Florida Subway store. An employee there got so enraged, he got so mad at a fellow employee in a fight over a sandwich that he ended up firing a handgun at the co-worker's mother. This happened in a Subway sandwich shop in Palm Springs, Florida. Look, we've already, Florida man stories, Florida women stories. Technically, this is a Florida man story. It's a Florida Subway restaurant story as well. Florida Subway. The fight kicked off when 18-year-old Destin Garcia was with his fellow employee the day after Thanksgiving. Because that Subway was very busy with Black Friday customers, the employees were allowed to make themselves a free sandwich.
No, that's nice of them.
Okay. So, Devin Garcia, remember this kid's 18, a guy's 18 years old, he's working at a Subway. He got so mad that one of his co-workers ended up making herself a wrap instead of a sandwich because the wraps there cost $1 more than the sandwiches do. He got so mad that his co-worker made herself a wrap instead of a sandwich that he ordered her to pay the $1 difference. She refused to pay and walked away. So the next morning, the whole day and night go by. The next morning, this must have been just festering inside of this 18-year-old Subway employee's mind. How dare her? You know, it's Black Friday, we're working. Our bosses realize we're so crowded here, they're going to give us a free sandwich. And she has the audacity to make herself a free wrap, which costs $1 more than the free sandwich.
He couldn't pull it out the tip jar?
He couldn't pull himself together, Coleman. So the next day, he actually slept on this. The next day, he's got his handgun, and he went over to her house to confront her about.
So he didn't even wait for her to go to work. He went to her house.
Yeah, he went to her house. This may be the most dedicated and or crazy Subway employee in the history of the Subway restaurant. He goes over to her house the next day. Got a gun. Knocks on the door. His co-worker's mother comes out. And that's when Devin Garcia shoved her to the ground.
The mother.
The mother, because the mother said, you leave.
Right.
You know, you get out of here. He shoved her to the ground. He then pulled out his gun and he screamed, do you think it's a game? And he fired two shots at the ground right near the feet of the mother. Well, obviously, the mother and her daughter called the police. And the 18-year-old, sorry, Destin Garcia is his name. Did I call him Devin? Destin. It's something what people are naming their kids these days, isn't it? Destin Garcia, the 18-year-old Subway employee, was arrested and charged with aggravated assault. all of this because his coworker, instead of just eating a free sandwich at Subway on Black Friday, decided to eat a free wrap. Right. And the wrap costs
now, if his boss, was riding him about the drawer coming up short or the inventory is coming up low, and he's like, dude, if this ever happens again, it's going to be your job. It's going to be your ass. The register better equal up. The inventory better equal up. I've been under stress. I've used to be a manager before, so I can understand this. I've never wanted to go to somebody's house and shoot their mom's feet or anything of that nature, but I can understand the stress of being a manager. Just organized babysitting is pretty much what it is when you're in a managerial position, especially if it's a fast food restaurant.
Well, look, take what he did the next day and try to put it out of your mind for a minute. Take the fact that he grabbed the gun, he went to his coworker's home where she lives with her mother, and then threatened. You take that away, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Many places, I owned a bar in a restaurant. Many places are looking for employees like this. Again, take the gun part away, what he did the next day. He was very upset.
Now, your restaurant was in Florida, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, Miami Beach, actually.
Okay. Would you hide Destin? What if he apologized twice, like the Giants guy we got?
Yeah, I don't know. It would be kind of tough because you can't go over to coworkers' houses with a gun. And then when the mother tells you to leave, you can't push her to the ground and then take out your gun and fire two shots at the ground near her feet.
That's true.
You can't do that.
But it's also hard to find that type of loyalty and dedication.
I was going
to
say, for an 18-year-old working at Subway, for him to be that passionate and that upset over his coworker taking advantage of the free sandwich situation by trying to have a wrap which cost a dollar more instead of a sandwich, for him to be that upset about it, I bet you that guy probably lost sleep that night. He tossed and turned. What am I going to do about this? I think many people would like an employee like this. Again, you take the gun part away.
But it is Florida. He probably was up tossing and turning because of the meth.
I'm looking at his mugshot. It doesn't look like his pupils are dilated. It doesn't look like he's a meth head. He's just a very passionate guy about where he worked at Subway, and he didn't want people taking advantage of the place that he worked. Coming up on the show, do you think strippers need to be 21 years old to strip in a strip club? We had this discussion here because it happened in New Orleans not that long ago. It's happening now in places all over the country where there are governments, state governments and city municipalities that are making laws saying you've got to be 21 or older to be a stripper. Now, look, nobody wants their daughter to do that for a living. But is that hurting the 18, the 19, and the 20-year-olds who are adults? Shouldn't they be allowed to do that as well? We're going to break this down coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You see who died? A guy who was the inspiration of one of my favorite movies of all time. And it's not only one of the great sports movies of all time, in my opinion, it's one of the great movies of all time, period. Did you ever see the movie Remember the Titans, starring Denzel Washington?
I have, a long time ago.
Well, the football coach he played, Herman Boone.
Ah.
Herman Boone just died. The real Herman Boone. He just died at the age of 84 years old. If you've never seen Remember the Titans, it's a piece of American history, besides being a great film and a great sports movie. It talks about the 1971 Alexandria, Virginia high school and high schools that were forced to merge together, a high school. Because before this, blacks went to one school.
Right, you're talking about they desegregated.
Yeah, whites went to one school, blacks went to another school. So in 1971 in Alexandria, Virginia, they decided to take a high school, Williams High School, and they said we're gonna integrate it. We're gonna have blacks and whites going to school together. And the movie Remember the Titans is all about that football team. that 1971 high school football team up there in Alexandria, Virginia. And I just love the movie. And what he did, the real life Herman Boone and the high school's T.C. Williams High School, what he did there was remarkable. Not only did he get the high school students to not kill each other and not fight each other and not strangle each other, but he got them to respect each other, to be friends with each other, and then to show everybody else in that school, hey, this is how it's done, how we're doing it right here on the football team. Not only that, the football team, I don't want to give a spoiler if you've never seen the movie before, but they had a great season. They went undefeated, and they won the state championship.
So it was more than just, hey, let's all get along. It was more like developing camaraderie, brotherhood,
things
of that
nature.
So it goes deeper than just, hey, they get along, they can play together, and we won games. It was more of an internal struggle of, look, this guy is more than just my teammate. This is somebody I look after. And that's what he did throughout the movie to get them to glom together like that. And plus, they won a few games.
And again, it was the real-life story of the T.C. Williams high school in Alexandria, Virginia in 1971. Herman Boone was the coach. Denzel Washington played him in the movie. Well, Herman Boone just died at the age of 84. And if you really like that movie, if you're wondering, what about the other coach who he replaced, the white coach, who a lot of people got upset about that back then, and he was supposed to leave and go coach another team. Coach Yost was his name, but he ended up staying and coaching the defense under Herman Boone. Coach Yost died a few years ago. So Herman Boone, as memorialized forever in the movie Remember the Titans, he just died at the age of 84. And if you've never seen that, I couldn't recommend a movie higher. Here on Bayou 95.7.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And there's something going around in different places in America now that happened here not that long ago here in New Orleans. And we talked about it on the show when it was happening. Do you remember when Louisiana, as a state, decided to make the minimum age to be a stripper?
I remember it.
21 years old. And it bothered some people because they said, well, wait, you're taking money away from 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. And we all know 18 years old here in the United States of America, you technically, legally, you're an adult at that age. And I remember talking about it and saying that, look, nobody wants their daughter or someone they love to be a stripper unless, you know, that's your thing. But is it right to make a law banning, outlawing 18, 19, and 20-year-old women from being strippers? And you know, this went through the courts of New Orleans, the courts of the state of Louisiana as well. And they said, we're okay with the stripper law being 21 and over. And you know, they can give good examples of why that law makes sense, because most strip joints sell alcohol.
Yep.
And since you can't legally drink alcohol until you're 21, obviously, that's what they were basing this law on. Well, they shouldn't be in a place taking their clothes off where people are drinking alcohol, something that they can't drink. They're doing something that they can't do. This is happening now out in Nevada, and there's a few other states, and the states are being sued by young women saying you're taking money.
All this could have been avoided if they just lowered the drinking age to 18.
Well, that's a whole different question. By the way, that's Chris Coleman hanging out on the show with us this morning. Coleman, this reminds me of what's happening in the NFL, in the NBA, in professional sports, especially the NBA. Because up until a few years back, if an 18-year-old coming out of high school was really good,
mm-hmm.
the NBA, they could a team could draft him at 18. But then they changed the rule, saying you can't do that anymore. The player has to be at least 19, and the player has to at least go to college for 1 year. And then the phrase one and done became real big because at schools like Kentucky and Duke and some of these other basketball blue blood colleges.
So how do you what is the justification? Is they saying that 18 is too immature because they're about to get a whole lot of money and they need some sort of experience or maybe some counseling? Because you're jumping from 17 to 18. Most of these basketball players are coming from nowhere, and now they're about to get these big money contracts.
No.
Or is it, no?
The justification was that NBA teams were drafting these 18-year-olds, and they were paying them a lot of money because they were high draft picks, but they weren't getting really good until their second or third year.
Nah,
and then
so it was a financial reason.
And then once the third year came, the player can all of a sudden become a free agent. And so that team that paid him all of that money, and the player wasn't that good when he was 18, 19, and 20, all of a sudden when he's 21, now he can become a free agent, and he's a lot better than he was 3 years ago at 18.
But that's a personal business decision, so I agree with that. Nobody's making the NBA do that. They're just doing it on their own, so I agree with that. If that's how the NBA feels, if it's economic, it's a business, they have the right to do that. Now, passing a law to do it, disagree with.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of more laws. And you're right. I like the way you think. It is by those particular NBA teams, whoever decided to make those decisions, that's a business decision by their organization.
And it goes back to the old argument. Oh, you can join the army and the military and go to war at 18, but you can't dance at 18.
You know, the NBA, I think at some point in the near future, they're going to be going back to, because a lot of these guys and their family, they are so poor and they need that money. They could use that money as ASAP.
Yep.
And it's kind of a joke when, like Zion Williamson, who the Pelicans just got. You know, if he came up 10 years ago, 11 years ago, he wouldn't have gone to Duke University for that 1 year where he played, and he was the best college basketball player last year in America. But everybody knew he was only going for 1 year because he had to go. Everybody knew he wasn't going to go and get a Duke education. He wasn't going to get a degree from Duke University. I mean, he went there for one reason, because he had to go there.
And when how do colleges justify that? You're about to accept a student to this college. So does the NBA pay for their college, or do they have the academic standards that they have to go by? Because if I want to get into college and I'm not an NBA player, I'm either got to pay my own tuition out of pocket, or I have to do really good on all my SAT scores.
Well, that's an argument that is happening on many college campuses. How many students are smart enough to get in, but they don't have the money, or maybe this basketball player just took that last spot instead of the really smart kids, and that's why that's a big issue. But I look at that like I'm looking at this stripper thing. I mean, how do you feel if you're listening? I mean, should there be laws that say you can't legally strip in bars until you're 21. Again, I could see how they can do it with the strippers because of the alcohol being served in there and that kind of thing. That's an excuse.
Okay, well, who to serve alcohol?
Does the Hooters waitresses have to be 21 or older to work at a Hooters where they don't, where they're not necessarily stripping? Or
no, but they're keeping their clothes on, even though they're tiny little outfits. They're still keeping everything that needs to be covered up. So that's why Hooters and some places like that aren't involved.
But that's why I don't get the logic. Just because one establishment keeps their clothes on and the other one doesn't, does that makes it okay? Okay, you can drink or you can work here as long as you're not nude if you're under 18. But if you're going to be nude, you have to be 21, even though you're legally allowed to be nude at 18 if you feel like it because you're an adult.
That's why we're having this discussion. And now this just recently happened over the last couple of years in New Orleans and in Louisiana, where the 21-year-old stripper, you got to be 21 or over. That's on the books. That law is being upheld. And now I just saw in Nevada and a couple of other states where these women now have lawyered up and they said, you're taking money from us.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in some of these cases, these women make thousands and thousands of dollars a week.
Yep. You know what that does? If they do pass the law, it opens up a black market. You have a guy, a John, who goes to these strip clubs to see this 18-year-old stripper, but now they can't see the stripper at the strip club. So now he's going to try to see her privately. Like, hey, look, I heard you lost your job. I will pay you for a private dance. Meet me at this spot at this location.
You know, we're the greatest country in the world, the United States. Don't ever forget that. No, we're not perfect. No country's perfect. No person's perfect. It's impossible to be perfect. And we always have some issues like this. And whether it's this 18-year-old star basketball player coming out of high school who could get drafted, but now he's been forced to go to college for 1 year, or it's the 18-year-old stripper who, hey, technically, legally, you're an adult, but you can't be stripping. But at least the strip joints, they have the excuse, or at least they have some precedent. Hey, you can't be selling alcohol here with underage, well, at least 18, 19, or 20-year-old women who are partially naked or whatever the case may be. It's a very interesting question. We'll see how these lawsuits work out. I'm always for less government. If you ever ask me how I feel about anything.
Yeah, it should be up to the strip joints. They should decide whether or not a person should dance at 18 or 21.
And again, nobody wants their daughters to do this, but at the same time, I mean, some women at that age, they're on their own. They need to make money, and then some look at it. How can you be taking money away? I was going to say taking money out of their pockets, but a lot of the times they're not. They don't have any pockets.
Taking money out the garter belt.
Yeah, because they're not wearing anything. Coming up on the show, we will tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. It's a doozy this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. So as this year is becoming one of the most, if not the most memorable football seasons around these parts here in Louisiana, I mean, you've got LSU. They made the college football playoffs for the first time, and they're two wins away from being undefeated national champions. And I don't see any defense in college football anywhere being able to stop Johnny Manziel.
Jaboro, right?
Hang on.
That's a Freudian slip.
Did I just say Johnny Manziel? Because I'm going to bring him up. Joe Burrow, of course. Joe Burrow, who won the Heisman Trophy. His statistics are incredible. He's completing almost 80% of his passes. He put up numbers that haven't been seen. And especially for LSU and LSU fans, historically a team built around defense, and they run the ball and never really threw the ball much. Suddenly, Joe Burrow comes to town, and he puts up numbers that we've never seen before. I don't see Oklahoma. I don't see Ohio State. I don't see Clemson. I don't see anybody who's left playing college football.
Yeah, how many quarterbacks have completed their own pass in the middle of a game?
He did that too. And so I don't see any defense being able to slow him down, let alone stop him. And then you've got the Saints, who they're as big a Super Bowl contender as any other team in the NFL this year. And so this is an exciting time to be a football fan around these parts. And the reason I brought this up is because I just read there's a new league that's starting when this football season's over. Vince McMahon is the guy who made wrestling, professional wrestling, huge.
Yeah, he's starting the XFL.
The
right?
XFL.
Again, I think this is his second attempt.
They're trying it again. And the commissioner of that league is the father of former NFL quarterback Andrew Luck. Oliver Luck is the commissioner of the XFL. And he did an interview yesterday, and he was asked, so is Johnny Manziel going to be one of your XFL team's quarterback? Because Johnny Manziel won the Heisman Trophy, was the first-round draft pick of the Cleveland Browns, and then he busted out big time. He was horrible. And alcohol had some things to do with it. Immaturity had a lot to do with it. But, boy, when you saw Johnny Manziel play college football, you thought that guy was almost can't miss. He, one of the few guys that went to Tuscaloosa and won, beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And, I mean, he had an incredible couple of years in college, but then he just couldn't handle the NFL, the maturity. And so then he went to the Canadian Football League, and he tried making it there, and he just wasn't that good in the Canadian Football League.
It seems like the same road that Jameis Winston is taking. You know, he's getting in there.
Although Jameis Winston is making millions of dollars and he's putting up big numbers, he's just not winning. Right.
We've seen Manziel
a little bit different between Jameis Winston and Johnny Manziel.
Manziel made an appearance at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, didn't he?
Last week, when Andrew Luck, when Joe Burrow won the Heisman Trophy, Johnny Manziel's standing up there with all the other Heisman Trophy winners. I'm surprised he even showed up, because people were just looking at him saying, "That guy, there's the biggest bust ever." But he did show up to shake Joe Burrow's hand. Well, anyways, the commissioner of the XFL, Oliver Luck, said that he was asked yesterday, "So is Johnny Manziel going to be an XFL quarterback? Is he going to be one of the teams going to take him?" Oliver Luck said he's not good enough to play in
He's
our
not
league.
Good enough to play?
Not good enough to play in the XFL.
I'm surprised about that. If this XFL is going to be like the first iteration, Vince McMahon goes for personalities. He doesn't go for skill sets. He wants the players to be involved. They're mic'd up. You can hear them as they go. They all have the right to put their own little nickname in the back of their jerseys. So I thought Johnny Manziel might be a perfect fit for the XFL.
Well, the difference between the XFL and professional wrestling is the XFL wins and losses are still legitimate.
Yeah,
that's the one difference between the XFL and professional wrestling. But can you think of a bigger fall from grace? I mean, this guy was on top of the world, and then immaturity just did him in. And I wonder when the next time we'll be seeing Johnny Manziel make those famous money signs that he always made. Coming up next on our show, it's The Dumbest Thing I Read All Morning. Hang out with us on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And since it's about 8:35, this is where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Shopper poops in middle of supermarket, then opens pack of toilet paper to wipe himself off. And let me tell you where this happened.
I would assume the restroom, right?
No, it happened at a Safeway supermarket, a grocery store, in San Francisco, California, in their Marina District. And I bring this up because I've talked about what's happening in San Francisco, California on this show a few times. How they have such a bad homeless problem that they just drop deuces all over the street. And instead of being told they can't do that or arrested, or what did San Francisco do as a city? They hired a few employees and they paid them $80,000+ a year. You still couldn't afford a one bedroom apartment in San Francisco for that. Crazy. To just go clean up the poop of the homeless people that are living in and around the 10 cities in San Francisco, right next to some of the most valuable real estate in our country. Horrified shoppers looked on as a supermarket visitor pooped in the middle of an aisle and then opened a brand new packet of toilet paper to wipe himself off. This happened in the Safeway supermarket, San Francisco's Marina District, this past Sunday morning at about 7:45. And people took some pictures of him.
Of course, why not?
He was snapped defecating by a stunned shopper who uploaded the photos to his social media accounts afterwards. The incident happened close to an aisle full of cleaning products. Even though the Safeway has a restroom that is free for any shopper to use.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go. He probably was rushing to it and couldn't make it and just say, you know what, I'm right here.
No, this is the San Francisco mentality. And by the way, that's Chris Coleman hanging out on the show with us today.
I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
You can't give anybody any benefit of a doubt who's in a supermarket, drops his pants, and then drops a deuce after dropping his pants. And that opens up a clean roll of, I don't know what the brand of toilet paper was, and then use it. So this person obviously thinks, well, I know what's going on outside here at the supermarket in the streets of San Francisco. They haven't told me to stop. As a matter of fact, they pay someone some pretty good money to come clean up my poop. So I figure I'm inside the supermarket here.
And we're sure it's a homeless guy, not a disgruntled employee, somebody whacked out to prove a point maybe.
Well, I'm looking at the pictures right now, and it's besides being extremely disturbing, you don't want to judge a book by its cover, you know, especially when that cover is him dropping a deuce in the aisle of a supermarket. But I don't know about his home situation.
Yeah.
Just by looking at the picture. I'll tell you. There were some people around there that just were shaking their heads, but they weren't that surprised because, again, it happened in a supermarket in San Francisco where it is legal to do it running the streets right outside of that supermarket. So this is the mentality of the people now in some supermarkets and some stores in San Francisco. So that, the shopper pooping in the middle of the supermarket and then opening up the pack of toilet paper to wipe himself, that is the... That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. We see it every Christmas time out. You know, some people, atheists and other people, they don't like public celebration of Christmas. We see it all over the place. As a matter of fact, in Kansas, the state of Kansas, a politically correct school district has banned Christmas trees, wreaths, and Christmas carols. Students can't even call Santa's helpers elves. They have to call them undocumented little people. Some places are taking it really too far. I'm so excited for Christmas. I love it. We're only 6 days away. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. I love feel-good stories because, you know, if you listen to this show, I always tell you, if you just pay attention to the news, it's always so negative. It's just one negative story after another. It bums you out after a while. That's what sells, though. The good news doesn't sell. I guess it's just the bad and the sad stuff that sells. But this is a great story, and you see this every so often. I just read where a 91-year-old man in Minnesota has finally been awarded his high school diploma. The only sad part about this story is teachers felt he was too old to do sex with. And that's just about going to do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Coming up next is Ginty. Ginty. He's got your music notes at noon. And we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.